This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. You know when you're really stressed or not feeling so great about your life or about yourself? Talking to someone who understands can really help. But who is that person? How do you find them? Where do you even start? Talkspace. Talkspace makes it easy to get the support you need. With Talkspace, you can go online, answer a few questions about your preferences, and be matched with a therapist. And because you'll meet your therapist online, you don't have to take time off work or arrange childcare. You'll meet on your schedule, wherever you feel most at ease. If you're depressed, stressed, struggling with a relationship, or if you want some counseling for you and your partner, or just need a little extra one-on-one support, Talkspace is here for you. Plus, Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance? No problem. Now, get $80 off of your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help get your job the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/arts. Just go to Indeed.com/arts right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/arts. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Welcome to Casual Conversations. I'm your host, Ryan Bean, here with the talented Miss Elena Sweetster. And we are here to discuss all things life, our families, work, business, children.
Both from the male and female perspective.
You name it. We want to get into it, talk about it. And we hope that it's a podcast that you and your friends and family can connect with, because we try to make it as real as it possibly can be.
Right.
And get into the weeds of the real life.
That's right. So thank you guys for coming back. We are on episode 8. Can you believe it?
8.
I know.
They're rolling along.
I've got the dad jokes now. I hang out with you guys too long.
Oh my God.
So last episode, we switched our style up a little bit.
Yes.
Where each week now, we're going to come to the conversation with a topic that the other doesn't know about. So last week, I came with the topic. And
yes.
So it's your turn this week.
I liked it, actually. I liked it. I liked messing it up because,
want this to not be scripted at all.
Yeah, exactly.
We want it to really be conversational.
And before, we would start with a topic, but that was it.
Yeah.
And now it's like, okay, now the topic's keeping the other person in the dark. So now you don't even know what you're going to be getting into. So
that's right.
There might be something that you just all of a sudden get, I might surprise her one day and really upset her by the end of it. But
it's like saying you don't like Lord of the Rings. I would be so good.
Yeah. Well, I haven't ever seen it.
Oh my God.
See? There we go. I've never even seen it.
I'm looking for a new co-host.
I've never seen Lord of the Rings, I swear.
Oh my God.
I haven't
wow.
Really.
Okay,
I'm not
this
a
big
team guy. Anyway, off topic. So last week she threw at me, would I have dated Allison, or would we have noticed each other in high school? And it was a hard no on all fronts.
Cool.
But so I thought I would throw one at you.
Okay.
Since you have a young toddler, raising children in today's environment with social media, the need to fit in. We kind of touched base on it a little bit last episode about how you were raised and how I was raised. So I thought, you know what? Now that we're raising kids, let's kind of get into
We're
not kids anymore. We have to raise our kids. What we maybe might be taking from our family that we loved, what we may be doing different than our parents did raising us. So
I think this is a really good one.
I think we should get into it. So
especially
I'm going to let you start.
Yeah, especially because I think my generation was the first with the social media accounts.
Mm-hmm.
MySpace, right? Now, obviously, I have a four-year-old now, so he's not going to get – he doesn't have tablets, and the parents that do the tablets, nothing against you guys. It's just my choice to not do tablets at that age.
Yep.
But I look at technology and the influence and the impact it has on kids these days. And that's a conversation we have to have with our toddler, because when he was 3 last year at daycare, they did their annual testing.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember it was an eye opener for me at technology and how young it starts now.
Mm-hmm.
He failed a certain a certain course or whatever. And I remember looking at Cole, and it's not that to me at his age that I'm like, he needs to succeed or fail at this age, but mm-hmm. I want to know how he's developing. Okay. That's where it's coming from. Mm-hmm. And I remember going to the teacher, I'm like, well, how did he fail? Like, he's done his ABCs. I know he knows up for now his opposites. I know he knows all these things, and he failed because they did their testing on an iPad. And I said, well, yeah, he doesn't have an, he's never used an iPad before. So, and it was one of the which is bouncing a ball, and he would just touch the screen without thinking.
Got right.
It. And so there's a big difference, I think, in the learning of kids today, because I didn't have iPads. I don't remember really having a computer till I went to, I think it was fourth grade. Mm-hmm. What about you?
iPad?
We played Oregon Trail.
Oh, that was, yeah, that was still in elementary school, but again, it was old school computer, yeah. And like, you know, that was the one little game you had, but
dial up.
Yeah, but I mean, you think about like just the, you know, everything is accessible now on your phone or tablets, and we're so reliant on them now. I mean, I didn't have any of that till I was well into an adulthood, but as far as growing up, I mean, we just had like, we had a home computer where we would do our normal, you know.
My parents had access to the cord. We didn't just be like, hop on the computer, whatever.
Oh, no. It was like you could only get on the computer if it was for schoolwork only. There was no searching the web. There was none
definitely
of that.
No cell phones.
No cell phones. You know, cell phones came out. I still had a pager back in the day.
Cool had a pager.
Shout out to all.
Cool had a pager.
It's all my, yeah, the little 911 where they put the little, you know, I love you or whatever. If you had a little girlfriend, like the little codes and the codes and the
I don't
the
even beeper. Know how, I still don't understand how pagers work.
Yeah, and then you had to go find a payphone, or you had to use someone's phone to call somebody back. It was crazy. It's come a long way. It's
technology
funny.
Is influenced kids earlier now, and you're feeling that with your kids at high school.
Everything's online, and you know, it bothered me. It's certain things, certain aspects of it do, right? I think that the education system as a whole is completely outdated, because now information is readily available to them.
Yeah.
And they can literally ask Siri whatever they want and they get answers. I think it's made us a dumber generation when it comes to just basic knowledge, but I also recognize it's made us faster, more efficient. You know, obviously we're using it on these platforms, right?
GPT is out there.
It help you with emails and how you word it. So I think that you have to have a balance of both. I think that when you become so reliant on it, that's a problem, but it could definitely be a helpful tool if it's like anything else, if it's used within moderation, I think it could be a helpful tool. But I understand where you're coming from, because you're trying to do right by your young toddler and not expose them so soon to technology. But the fact of the matter is, it's here to stay. It's not going anywhere.
Exactly.
And if you don't, and this is where the challenges come in, right? Because I didn't have that. Early on, I thought it was complete nonsense. I still think that we don't teach our kids some of the basic knowledge they need to have just in life to survive. And I think the problem is we made it so easy for them to have information that now they live behind that device. Mm-hmm. And that's where I feel we've, as a society, have gone wrong, because people, I mean, my kids talk about this all the time. I watch my daughter, and I think we talked about it a few episodes ago about just the amount of hours spent on their phone. And in their eyes, I've only been on it for a couple hours. I've been on it for an hour. I'm barely even on it. And then you pull up their screen time, and then it was eye opening for Addison and Dylan. I'm like, guys, you've been on your phone for 6 hours today.
100%
on Snapchat, on whatever. And it's like, what? I'm like, you're literally watching other people enjoy life. I don't get that. Like, I don't understand the concept of watching other kids on YouTube or watching kids play games or video games. I'm like, you're watching somebody else play a video game and you're entertained by them and enjoying life while you're out missing these great opportunities.
Yeah, I will say, I did teach myself how to crochet off YouTube.
And like I said, it's a helpful tool, right?
It's a helpful tool.
Yeah, it's helpful for, I mean, everything's out there. Information is so accessible to any of us, and you can literally learn everything. So I get the importance of it. But I think that what's happening is that we are becoming, it's such a convenience that we are becoming so reliant on it. And I would not want to raise a toddler in today's day and age, because I think what ends up happening is, the other thing too, is I think these parents, they don't want to miss out on, kudos to you. I'm proud of you, because
why?
Well, because if your teacher had that that feedback of Kian not knowing how to use the tablet, I've seen 3-year-olds and 4-year-olds get around the tablet and phone faster than I can. Yeah. They know more about the technology on my iPhone than I do.
Here's the balance that you have to find, though. So, like you said, technology is not going anywhere, right? And because I've had talks with even my mother-in-law, he shouldn't have a tablet that age. technology is not going anywhere.
Right.
And I just because I don't agree with it doesn't mean I should hold my child back.
You can't.
From learning something that he's going to learn and then he's going to be behind.
Mm-hmm.
So it comes back to that balance you said. So I found out at the library they have learning tablets. So he has a learning tablet that he would rent out from the library where it's just learning games. Like he's learning how to put a car together, right? Something like that. Or it's doing ABCs or pick the opposite of whatever. And so he hasn't had one of those in a while, but they're in increments. He can have those things, but he doesn't have a tablet to just watch YouTube whenever.
Which is great.
Which I don't want you. That scares me, honestly.
Well, I think it's great. But I mean, you see, I mean, when's the last time you went to a restaurant and you didn't see kids, you know, behind a tablet because the parents don't want to miss out on going to dinner with their friends and they feel like that's the only, okay, I got to keep them quiet. Like, I mean,
I would say the main thing is keeping them quiet.
Well, people, I think people use it as a babysitter, right? I see people who will use this and I'm like, what is this kid? Like this poor kid is getting so used to staring at a screen because they're bugging you and they want to play with you. I mean, I remember that again, like, so that's why me and Allison is for when we had toddlers, we said no a lot more than we said yes. And I'm like, it's because I know my kids are going to be bored. I know my kids are going to be bugging me the entire time. I'm not going to enjoy going out to dinner. I think a lot of our friends have that same feeling. So you don't want to pay for a babysitter because they're just sleeping or you don't trust the babysitter or the kids are so young and you're like, you don't have the trust in the babysitter to watch your toddler. So you put yourself in these positions. And I think sometimes we just have to learn to say no. And I think me and Allison did a pretty decent job of that because we used to go out and, or just know that when you go there, I don't want my kids to have to stare at a screen for 2 hours while I'm trying to enjoy dinner with my friends. It might mean me coloring and playing tic-tac-toe with them or trying to keep them entertained. But
stickers.
Excuse me. It's very, very hard. Yeah. It's very hard right now because
it is. It is also hard because, you know, when we hang out with you guys, our kids are at a different age.
Right.
So it's just, like when we go to the lake, it's with the family and the friend, right? It's just different from when you guys turn off parent mode, not full off parent mode, but you know what I mean? Where I can't ever do that because I'm still making sure I still have to wipe my kid's butt. Okay.
Right.
So I have to have my eyes on him at all times because he's just at that age.
Right.
Right. I got to make sure he's not running off into something, trying to eat something that I don't know about.
Right.
Where you guys know your kids know not to go jump in the lake without a life vest. You know, my kids he's just, the ball goes across the street, he wants to run.
Right.
Right. So it's one of those things, like, I'm always on alert still here in my parenting life in our era where you guys already did that work.
Yeah. And again, it was still technology has been part of their lives for that whole time frame as well. Right. So yes, but it comes with its own set of challenges, right? Because, you know, now, yes, I have more freedom when it comes to like the social part of it, because my kids are old enough and they don't want to hang out with mom and dad anyway. I mean, every Friday night they're at a football game, they're hanging with their friends, they're doing sleepovers. Yeah. So we're at that era. The worry never goes away. The worry, I think, increases because even though I don't have to monitor them, I have to trust them.
But you have to trust your parenting too. And you guys have done a good job.
Thank you. And we've tried. I try to keep my kids away from the bad things. And, you know, we knew that we were going to have to put a lot of work in when they were young. And you're at that stage with Cole where you're having to sacrifice surroundings with your friends because you're so focused on being a parent to Kian. But that way, when he becomes a teenager, he becomes more independent. Yes, your radar will always be on. You'll always worry about him. You'll always freak out. My kids are Addison just started driving with her permit. Oh, my gosh.
I will freak out.
Oh my gosh. We're going to have a rough go, but we're going to get through it. Dylan's driving all the time. Yeah, it is, but it's a worry. So now I have to trust them more, or before I just had to watch them more. So that's kind of where the difference is. But I think raising kids today is so hard. And I look back at how we were raised and how we grew up and the challenges that we dealt with back then are so elementary, in my opinion, to what these kids face today.
Well, let's talk about why. Okay, exactly. Because everything's on camera. Back in our day, which once again, we were good kids in high school.
Yeah.
But you think about a lot of the kids.
I would have got in major trouble if some of the things were filmed that I did.
Yeah, exactly. So you think about all these things that are getting filmed because it's funny to do, but what they're not mature enough to realize that is going to stick with them forever or whoever they're posting about forever. I remember in college, so I guess I'll tell the story. So in college, our sophomore year, playing soccer, of course, and we call ourselves suspended seven, if I remember correctly, because we got suspended for a game because we were drinking when we weren't supposed to.
Jeez, Elena,
I know, I know, but I turned out okay, everybody. I turned out okay.
Yeah.
But anyway, so, but what happened was our coach, because a lot of the girls were getting in trouble, he took social media away. He literally put, if you, any of you are on any type of social media, I think Twitter, I was never a Twitter person, but Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, you were not on the team. You will be cut from the team. And there was a girl that got cut because of it. Anyways, and he was adamant that we had no access to social media, which if you would do that to kids today,
oh my gosh, you'd be ridiculed.
Exactly. But
you'd be fired.
We did that because we kept getting in trouble because some of the girls, even the boys, were doing shit. So,
oh, you're good. You're fine. You're fine.
Doing stuff. And then they were posting about it.
Right.
And how dumb. They were doing stuff and then they were posting about it. And it's like, of course you're going to get caught because it's on there forever.
Right. And, you know, kudos to him. And at the end of the day, you know, you look at, yes, and, you know, Addison's the same way. So they have it because, again, if you, and this is the difference between, here's the difference of eras, right?
Yeah.
Is back then, your parents probably supported the coach's decision. Back then, we supported teachers.
Mm-hmm.
Back then, if I got in trouble from a teacher, and I'm this way today with my kids, this just happened with Dylan recently, where a teacher sent us an email and I automatically went to defend the teacher.
Right.
Okay, I assume that my son messed up, right? I assume that my son was the problem. I assume that my daughter is the issue. In today's environment, mm-hmm. it's the opposite.
Mm-hmm.
And these poor teachers, these poor coaches, these poor people that are just trying to actually better your kids because they're trying to actually prepare them for real life, this is where the disconnect is. This is where I do not get along very much with your generation because
I don't get along with a lot of my generation
because they feel like their kids are the most important. They feel like they're the princes and the princesses and everything should cater to their kids. And I'm going to rearrange my entire curriculum. I'm going to rearrange how you coach the kids because you might hurt my kids' feelings. I think it's absolute nonsense. And we have gotten so wrapped up into that stuff and I will fight it to the death because you are not setting up your kids for the future. You're doing them a disservice. Your kids aren't special, right? They're special to you. The world doesn't care about them. It's just the reality. That's the world that we live in. And when they get out in the real world, no one cares. They care about their own families, their own people, their own units. And, you know, kudos to your coach for doing that. I think it's great.
Well,
you'll never see it again.
Think about my husband, who was a coach, college coach. And there were times that he would get phone calls from parents, kids who were in college, asking them why their kids aren't playing.
Yeah, maybe they should work harder.
And he would respond by saying they can come to my office and have a conversation with me about it. But he's an adult. Right. And Cole's whole thing when he was coaching was, I'm turning these boys into men, because that's usually the last bit of when they get out of college that they will go into the real world and become men.
Mm-hmm.
And I see it a lot. And we even saw it a little bit because Cole and I started coaching club together when we first started dating. I think that's how we started dating because we were friends. When we started coaching together. But there would be parents of, why isn't my kid playing? How can they do this? Why? They just question a lot of our stuff.
It's the world of the participation trophy, right. Which I can't stand that either.
Oh, yeah. We're on the same board with that.
Our kids threw all theirs away. If it was a participation trophy, went right in the trash, or we just wouldn't accept it.
He was doing little kickers or soccer shots at school, and they would put the certificate and the little medal in his back, but we never showed it to him. And it's because we want him to want to work hard for something like we did.
Well, you take away the real joy of it by earning it.
Everybody's
right?
Winner.
And they're not.
Yeah.
And you look at today's society and you see these kids and these parents that want their kids to have the same feeling as everybody else. What you're basically doing is you're making them feel worse because they know for a fact they didn't earn it. They know for a fact they didn't put the work in. So what are you telling your kids? You're telling your kids at an early age that if you can just, you just have to show up. If you just show up, you get a trophy.
Well,
that's not the case whatsoever. And then, you know, especially these competitive kids where, you know, they get fired up and if they lose a game and they're told, you know, it's just a game, it's just a game. Yeah, it's true, but it's very hard to tell a competitive person like that.
Oh,
if you look at, like, if you went to the national championship or, you know, she's a Hall of Fame, she won't tell you this, but her and her husband are both Hall of Fame soccer players with their college. She'll
He's
always
just
do that
a little bit better than me, but
they'll keep that on the DL. But the work it took to put into that, if I went to you at the national championship, said, oh, Elena, it's just a game.
Mm-hmm.
You'd be like, no, it wasn't a game. This was a huge deal because of all the work and effort you put into it.
Yeah.
And
I remember my senior year, it didn't end the way that I wanted it to in college. And that was my last game I was ever going to play as an athlete, right? Well, competitively like that. and we lost. And I remember, you know, some of the teammates or even some of the coaches, oh, it's, you had a great career, but all I remember is being completely pissed off.
Yep, and you should be.
And I said, this is how I ended my career. This is not how I should have ended my own career, because the team was just not mentally there that game. And no matter what anybody told me that, I remember I was just, my competitive side was so out that that's how it ended, because I knew we could have done better. Yep. And I don't know if you get that bite from these kids these days like that.
That's why you have to teach them. And that's why it's our job to teach them. It's our job to let them fail. It's our job to let them understand what the feeling is when they actually put the work in. I remember last year, last year's with Addison, but particular last year when she made freshman cheer. That girl worked her tail off. And you got to remember, a lot of people try out for high school cheer. And I remember her, when she saw her name on the list, she literally busted down in tears because it made all the practice, all the abuse on her body, all the tumbling practices, all the choreography practices, the dance, everything that she had to put into it to make the top 12 or top 15, whatever it was, out of the hundreds of girls that tried out. That's what the feeling is supposed to be. And I remember that back in the old school days too. If you got cut from basketball, you had a first cut and a second cut. And the coach used to put your name up on a piece of paper and put it up in the coach's office. And then he would say, okay, you know, cut one is going to be this day, cut two is going to be this day. And you went up there and you saw your name on that list. And I knew, okay, all this time in the gym, all this time practicing, the blood, sweat, tears that I'm putting in for it, this is why. You don't ever give your kids that feeling if you don't make them work for it. Right? You're robbing them of it. You're robbing them of the feeling of pure joy, right? Yeah. You look at my kids and I'm like, it was pure joy on Addison's face when she made cheer. And I remember hugging her and I whispered in her ear and I said, this is why the hard work's worth it. Mm-hmm. For what you remember, what you're feeling right now. And then again, she worked hard again this year. She made the team again this year. And God willing, she'll make it the next 2 years of her career and finish out her high school.
She has you guys' parents.
Yeah, but she understands how good it feels to put the work into something, achieve it, and then get the reward at the end. Yep. And how much it hurts when you put that work in, like you in your team, and you come up a little bit short. That's the way you should feel. Mm-hmm. And it shouldn't be babied and coddled. It should be like, you know what, Elena? I understand. You're going to get over it.
If I'm honest, I was pissed about it for over a year. Over a year after that happening, I was pissed about it.
It's still that way with me today with work, right? And my bosses get on me all the time about it because I don't let losing go. It's something that it's a personal demon that I have.
We're the same. Cole tells me that's my worst thing, is I don't let things go.
Yeah.
But I think it's because it's not resolved.
Well, I think for me, it's like, what did I not do? What could I have done better? How did this person beat me? Mm-hmm. How did this person outwork me? How did this person outsmart me? So like, let's say, for instance, I'm in sales, right? You're in sales. Like, you know, it's, if you lose, you know, let's say someone pulls, you know, you have a real estate deal, you're not selling the house, and someone says, you know what, I'm going with another realtor, and then the house gets sold in a month. It can be a timing thing. It can be whatever, but you're going, okay, what did I not do to make that happen? That's kind of how I feel with my job. And I want, but in my kids, I don't want them to have beat them up themselves so bad, but the feeling should be there. You shouldn't try to baby that feeling. We should let you have that anger, let you understand, you know what, this sucks.
You're going to be proud about this, what I'm about to tell you. So as you know, Kian is mining Cole's son. And so that means he's naturally competitive. Like, he's a gamer. He already seen
naturally,
him
or did you, or did you build him to be competitive?
Well, he's watched mommy and daddy be competitive. Right. You know, I mean, he'll come up just play plunder with him, and he likes to roll the dice. He doesn't really understand the pirate part of it, but he likes to roll the dice. And you know, you lose a play or whatever, and he'll go, "You two are going down, and I'm going up."
Right? See, but because at least he knows how to lose, and we'll talk about that on this episode.
This is why
too.
You'll be really proud. So my parents were just in town, and they were teaching him concentration, which is really like memory, but with a deck of cards. Mm-hmm. They're playing. And which used to be one of my favorite games growing up. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah,
flip a random card. Okay.
Yep.
So we've been playing that a lot lately. And I'm not kidding, like four times back to back last night before bed. He chose that over cartoons last night. And so we were playing with it, and I kept beating him. And you know, most people were like, "Oh, he's only four. Let him win." And I told him, I said, "Mommy's not going to go easy on you because mommy wants you to learn and get better. What is mommy's job? Keep me safe, help me be the best I can be." Right? He knows those things. So last night we started teaching him, "You don't lose, you learn." And so every time he'd lose, I say, "You what? What happened?" He goes, "It don't lose, you learn." And so we're teaching him that, like, just keep getting better. Mm-hmm. And he actually beat me on the fourth round before going to bed. He beat me, and I didn't let it happen. He beat me, and the way his face lit up. He ran to Cole because Cole's sitting on, you know, his recliner chair, and we're sitting where my chase area was playing. He ran to Cole, I be mommy. And the way his face just like
you lit don't, up. They never get to learn that feeling.
Yes.
If you rob them of it.
Yes.
So like I would tell parents today, like you're being selfish. Mm-hmm. You think that you're not. You think that you're, but you're robbing the kids of knowing what that joy is when they put the work in themselves, they accomplish it, they get it done, and they're like, wow, I won, and I did it by myself. I did it on my own. You can't keep robbing your kids right. of doing that. And I think it's a fantastic story. I love everything about it. Mm-hmm. And it goes back to what we said a couple episodes. And, you know, Dan Besson, another shout out. And because, again, we're having a rough year business-wise. Is you win some, you learn some. You exactly. only lose if you didn't learn anything from it. And you have to learn how to lose, right?
And you so have even to teach though, your kids how to lose,
yes,
too.
And I, you know, at the end of the day, I, you know, I hate it. It eats at me. But I will still go to that person out of respect and say, you beat me this time. I'm going to work that much harder next time so I can beat you next time.
Yep.
But it's the people that don't know how to lose, the kids that don't know how to lose, the temper tantrums you see when you lose. And then people, like, they think it's a joke or they make light of it. Mm-hmm. Don't make light of it. Right. Like if my kids throw temper tantrums when they lost back in the day, I'd pull them aside and be like, no.
Yeah.
You go to that person, you go to that person, and you say, good game.
Yep.
You say, you outplayed me. The life isn't about just handing you wins. You have to earn the wins.
I want you to watch me and Keaton play next time because he does that. He goes, good game. Would you like to play again? Because he loses.
Yeah.
Because I told him, I said, there will be another game. Play again.
What did you do differently?
And so that's
what
you did. Would you like to play again, mommy?
Yeah.
Okay.
And he beat you.
And you know what I say? You want to go down again? And so, like, you know, I'll go with him. But obviously, I do it to his age range.
Well, but you're making light of it. Yeah. But you're making, like, you know, it's not like you're, like, getting into it like you're on a field of soccer, but
right.
you're setting him up for long-term success. And I promise you, you're going to be thankful because when your kids get to my kids' age, and he's going to do normal kid stuff. He's going to screw up. I screw up every day. So do you. But the
How
core.
How dare you say that to
but,
me?
Well, I know I did. You maybe not. If you ask my wife, she never screws up.
I am the almighty Elena.
Oh, yeah. You and Allison are the same boat, apparently. So, yeah. I'm not on that boat. Yeah. I'm on the boat that messes up all the time. But it's learn how to lose. Mm. Learn how to win.
Learn how to win.
Be a gracious winner. Be a gracious loser. And let losing eat at you. And it's okay that losing eats at you as long as you go, okay, what am I going to do different about it on the next? How am I going to pivot? What am I going to change about myself? Right. What am I going to change about the strategy? What am I going to change about how I raise the kids or do different so it's not, so it's, mm-hmm. you know, the outcome's different, right?
You know what I think the biggest problem with parenting today, though, and it's happened, and I think social media has a big influence on this, is the social status of the parents and their kids. Mm-hmm. So you look at it, I felt this when we were coaching. I mean, when we first moved here, Cole was coaching these kids. They could barely make passes together, okay? Mm-hmm. And then he took these kids, and then they started getting competitive and winning. A few of the parents ripped their kids out of Cole's team because their kids weren't scoring enough or they weren't winning enough. And there's a certain page where part where winning is very important, but you have to look at losing is very important too for your kid.
I can say you make the argument that losing is actually could be more important a lot of times,
especially at a certain age, because mm-hmm. these kids, I think they were maybe 8, 9, maybe, I don't know, 8 to 10, I don't know. But anyways, you know, they went from not passing and then the end of the season winning games. Were they winning tournaments? No, but they were winning games. That's an improvement. But instead of looking at that as improvement for the kid, they thought, oh, well, my friend's kids are winning more games. They're winning 10-0. Okay, so, we were winning 3-2, but their friend's kids were winning 10-0. And so they took them to a team that was then mm-hmm. winning bigger mm-hmm. because that was more inclined for them to say, oh, my kids scored 4 goals today.
Right, but you look at, okay, what did they learn from winning all the time? What did they learn about themselves? You know what they learned about themselves is we don't have to work that hard.
Yeah.
We're better than everybody else. We're undefeated.
Kids that are picking dandelions on the ground, but we're winning 10-0.
You know, I said this before. You and I talked about this, and this relates to real life, right? Is because I've got that gene and because in me, and because I had great mentors as well. You look at this year, this has been a very, very rough year just in business. And I think I was telling you, is that I'm glad that my guys are struggling this year. I'm glad that my guys are getting a little slice of humble pie. I am.
I'm glad, right? I'm going through it right now.
Right, because it's going to make me so much better. It's going to make me, it's made me look at everything I do differently. It's made me restructure my day. It's made me restructure what's important to me, my priorities. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And when you win all the time, you're thinking to yourself, I got nothing more to learn. I'm the best of the best. No one's going to beat me. I don't have to put any more work in. And I guarantee you, there's someone coming up right behind you. And I tell my guys this all the time. I said, you got to be careful. One of the differences between me and I saw this quote a long time ago, and it's still written up in my office. If you want to be first, you always have to work like you're in second. Mm-hmm. And there's someone out there actively working to knock you off your high horse. Yep. Yep. I think it's absolutely asinine. I think you see these kids, and they're so much about the win so they can post it on Facebook or post it on Instagram, and they want to live this fake life and all this stuff. It's just
look at all the clubs, nonsense. Right? And the kids that have, like,
it's a business.
I see our baseball lines, they got the rings or the big medals with the soccer these days. It's all about, like, the flashiness. Mm-hmm. It's not about the actual value of the sport.
The fundamentals. What are you learning? How do you learn to be a teammate?
Yes.
How do you learn to make someone around you better? You know, Addison's, you know, has, we just had this conversation with Addison the other day because one of her cheerleaders are struggling with one of their holds on their flyers because Addison's the base, right? And I said, and she was complaining. I stopped the car. I literally stopped the car. We were pulling out of the school parking lot. And I said, Addison, I don't want to hear you roll another teammate under the bus. I want you to go to that teammate and say, you know what? Why don't we work on this? How can I help you? Hey, you know what? Why don't we stay 10 minutes after practice, and I'll show you some of the tricks that I do to help you be better. I told her, I said, be that person.
That's a leader.
Be that teammate. That's exactly what I said. And that's what I try to do to my guys. It's like, okay, guys, let's look at it differently. Well, did you try this and you try this? Okay, this isn't working. You've tried this multiple times. We got to try something different. But I'm not going to go roll you under the bus. I'm going to be the person that tries to uplift you and try to make you better. And I promise you, if you become that person in life where you're always giving to people and you're always putting your best effort into people, the rewards you're going to get out of life are going to blow your mind. Mm-hmm. And success, no matter what it is in your eyes, success will automatically come to you because you're putting all that energy into something positive.
Right.
And I agree with Cole. You know, when you're teaching these kids, you're teaching them, they should be looking at it as, okay, we're getting better. Now we're passing better. Now we're getting wins. Now we're a team. We got some team camaraderie. Now we're uplifting each other. Be that person.
You know what I think? I think we need to start raising more leaders in children. We have a lot of, we want obedience from our children, right? And we want them to be good and do the things we say, but we need to have more kids that want to be natural leaders. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it makes sense. And I think, you know, how do you think you go about doing that? What would you be doing with Kian to make him a leader? Like, what's an example of something you would do with him?
I guess I push him. I keep pushing him to be his best.
Yep.
And I mean, I don't know. What do you think? That's all I can think of being is just pushing your kids and, yep, and thinking what's important. Because it goes back to, am I going to put my kid on a team that's going to beat kids 10-0? Then they have no drive if I do that. Or I'm going to put him in a team that challenges him to want to be better. And yeah, teach him to be a kid that wants his teammates to be better, like you did, Addy.
That's it. I think being the better teammate is the way to go, right? So, you know, and again, it's, because I truly believe that when you get to the pinnacle, when you get to the win, it makes it that much more meaningful because you know what work had to be put in to do it. Mm-hmm. It wasn't because I guarantee it. If you get you see these kids today and, you know, like Cole, you know, he coached college, right? And, you know, he didn't always have a winning season. He built that program. I remember when he took over the Texas Westland soccer.
Gosh, yes.
It was a struggle.
Brian, I left the first preseason game. I couldn't watch it.
So here's a prime example. Here's a prime example. But he brought in key people that could be good teammates, mm-hmm, that he can mold and coach, right? He didn't bring in
culture.
Yeah, culture is everything. And that's the main reason why I've been with my company for as long as I have and why I push culture so hard to my guys, because you have to create that culture. And to create a winning culture, it is, okay, how do I make my teammates better? And then when people start taking the ego part out of it, and I think that with kids too, when you take the I'm the best, I'm better than everybody else, rather than, okay, how do I make everyone around me better? That's what I've built my career on.
I personally coach kids like that, and those are the worst kids to deal with, coaching that you don't know anything. What do you know, coach? I mean, you only went to Elite Eight in college, your college career, but what do you know? I'm 12.
But you look at us, right? You know, yeah, you look at this podcast. This is a perfect example of what I'm talking about, is we both put ourselves out of our comfort zone here. We're learning from each other. I'm learning from you. You're hopefully learning from me. I know I'm learning from you.
Just a little bit.
Yeah, but you, that's the culture, right? Okay. The idea is that no matter how good we are, it's okay, how do I get better? How do I make you better? How do you make me better? And you want to have kids that are coachable. And look at where how he left that program. He set that program up for the next coach to come in, and now that coach is 5, 10, 15 steps ahead mm-hmm. of where Cole got it. Now that guy's got a winning culture, if he maintains it, right. If it's a coach like Cole, they could take that culture, take what he started, and build it to the next level. And then the guy behind that builds it to the next level. But it has to start with that foundation.
So I think what you're saying is we need to teach more of the mindset of a team and the power of a good team.
Everything,
and not just a sports team. Not
it's your
just
marriage. It's how
your
you
work.
Yes.
Your family.
Yes.
I mean, Kian needed to clean his playroom after his birthday party. It was a disaster. Mm-hmm. I found half-eaten broccoli pieces on his floor mm-hmm. from those kids. But anyways, it was a disaster, and it was overwhelming when I kept looking over it. And so I remember telling him, we got home. It was Monday. I said, we're cleaning this room, dude, after jiu-jitsu. And I said, you're going to help mommy, okay? And he goes, oh, it's going to be hard. I said, what number's bigger, one person or two people? And he goes, two. I said, that's why we're going to do it together.
Mm-hmm.
And we cleaned the playroom, and we got it done in a decent amount of time. And, I mean, he's got distracted by a toy here and there. But, you know, he did help me put in his little cars away, and I wanted him to feel the power of a team working together.
And it goes into everything that we've talked about mm-hmm. to this point, right? You know, we're more multiple episodes into this, and we talk about marriage, we talk about friendships, we talk about what we said at the beginning of this podcast. Mm-hmm. It's all things life.
It is.
It's all things life. And when you have that team mindset, and again, I've always had it, so it's
because we're athletes, we naturally were.
Yeah, but I also wanted to see people be their best version of themselves. Yeah. Something that's been in me, that's been a something that's good, I guess, right? Mm-hmm. Everyone has their strengths and their weaknesses. I've got plenty of weaknesses. One of my strengths has been that, and putting, you know, all effort into my staff, them into my suppliers, into my team, then putting it into the guys behind them. You are going to reach so much more pinnacles rather than trying to be individuals. It's like your marriage, everything else, right? When you and Cole look at it as we're a team, we're in this together. Mm-hmm. I've got his back, he's got mine. We got Kian's back, Kian's got ours. Then when you know, God willing, you're going to have another baby, that baby's going to come into the, okay, well, babies, sorry, Cole, babies, maybe twins. She comes from a family of twins. But when you put that stuff in there, and when you people can get away from the selfishness, mm-hmm. when people can get away, set their own egos aside, it's so much more gratifying, and you can't really explain it until you actually go through that process and you realize, wow, look at how much further we're along because we put it into it as we looked at this as a team and how to make the team better. And a lot of guys leave that team, right? Because they have that individual mindset of it's about me. It's about my success. It's about where I'm going in life. And those people are going to come and go in your life. And you have to understand that employees are going to come and go mm-hmm. with that kind of mentality. I'm trying to build a culture to where my guys realize we're all in this together,
right?
Right? We're all fighting together.
I mean,
my marriage, we're fighting this together.
Yes.
Our kids, we're in this together. My kids, I've got your back 100%. That doesn't mean I'm not going to punish you. That doesn't mean you're not going to get in trouble. I've got your back. Mm-hmm. I support you.
We'll get through it together.
We're going to get through it together.
That's what we teach Ken. I mean, he got in trouble with not listening to his teacher a couple weeks ago. And, you know, of course, he wasn't wanting to admit it. And I said, you did wrong. You have to take responsibility. I said, mommy and daddy are not getting mad at you or angry with you because we want to be mean to you. It's our job to make you better. And we three will get through it together.
Yeah. And I think, you know, obviously we started this conversation with, you know, the raising kids in today's environment, right? And what that means to us and our upbringings and how different it was today. I think what it really boils down to is that we are so much more concerned with our kids' feelings than we are of trying to actually coach them and instruct them and teach them.
I would say two things. That's one. And the second thing is our own, as parents, ego. Feeding our own egos, our kids.
I was able to give them it. Yeah. And again,
kid was on the championship team and my kid scored 10 goals. Well, your kid, 3 years later, your kid doesn't play soccer anymore.
Right.
So what did that do for that kid? And then they're burnt out and they hate that sport because I hate all the time.
Or that's the kid that all the other teammates couldn't stand and he wasn't a good teammate and he wasn't trying to make people around him better or whatever it is. Right. So, you know, I agree. I think that we got to look at going back to the old school. And I think we can all agree that you know, I want my kids to know they'll love, right? We didn't, that was something that I knew love for my mom and dad for sure, especially my mom, but my dad was tough love. And it was, I'm trying to raise men. I'm trying to raise, you know, members of society. I'm trying to make you guys into good people. As he's gotten older, he's become a lot more emotional, a lot more loving and those type of things. I think he just felt like he had to be, have this hard shell. So I agree that we want to spare our kids' feelings as much as possible, but it's also okay for them to go through getting their feelings hurt. It's okay for them to be made fun of a little bit. Does it suck? Yeah. But how are they ever going to learn and grow? How are they ever going to be tough enough to prepare for the real world? And we're trying to put these protective bubbles around these kids, and then you're not setting them up for reality.
I'll never forget, it was club. We were playing in Bernalillo. I had to be a teenager this time, and I had a really bad game. I was just, as an athlete, sometimes you have games and you're just off. And I think it was a tournament game, and we lost the tournament. I think it was semifinal, going to finals, something like that. I remember my dad was driving me home, and I just was crying because I was upset. And he told me, do not cry. He says, take responsibility for not having a good game. And I did that, and I got better. And we went, and we ended up winning state that year. But I'll never forget that. I think about that moment a lot, actually. And my dad was like, not going to let me cry and get into my own pity party, because I had to take responsibility. I did. I had a bad game, and I needed to not cry myself to make myself feel better. I needed to take responsibility for that.
That's everything. That can sum up everything in life, right? Just take ownership. You're going to make mistakes every single day. I tell my guys all the time, we are going to make mistakes every day. I make mistakes every day. The difference is, are you willing to take ownership when you do, right? Mm-hmm. If you mess up with your spouse, say you're sorry, right? Say I messed up and I apologize. And that goes a long way, right? And I think a lot of people, they can't do it for whatever reason. And I just think, to me, you're not growing as a person when you can't just accept responsibility. I tell my kids, I would rather you come to me and say, Dad, I really screwed up. Dad, I got a bad grade because I didn't put the effort in. I didn't work on it. I'd say, okay, you're in trouble for it. There's a consequence, right? There's a consequence for you not doing that. But okay, what are we going to do differently on the next go around? But taking accountability is the first one. People that are always wanting to pass the buck off on somebody else, I can't be around people like that. It's not my personality. It rubs me the wrong way, big time, when people just can't step up and say, I screwed up. And I tell my guys that with their customers. I'm like, you're going to get more respect from your customers when you just say, you know what, this is on me, I messed up, I forgot to do this, or I put the wrong this in, whatever, put the wrong part number, whatever it is, and say, but I will get this fixed, I will make it right. And people can accept mistakes. People are around their own employees that make mistakes every single day. Take accountability.
It was a couple years ago, I had a listing with an investor, and it went under contract, and there was a certain part selected. I don't need to go into the details of the contract, but they terminated it, and they got the earnest money back, which at that point in the contract, they should have not gotten the earnest money back. But because I oversaw what they selected on the contract, that was my fault. And I remember thinking, I worked so hard to earn this investor's respect and trust and business. He's got a big book of business, right? And a highly respected investor. And I called him, and I remember thinking I could either just play it off or kind of lie about it. And I was like, no, I need to take responsibility. And I called him and I explained the situation. I said, this was my fault, and I will take this out of my commission when it closes, because we were going to get another contract. And he has so much respect for me that I did that. He says, don't worry about it. Obviously, make sure you check that on the next one. I guess I've never made that mistake before. And I think that was year 8 in my career. I've never made that mistake. And to this day, I have a listing of his now. I've got he and his business partners. One of my other listing is a referral from his business partner. So I think it goes a long way to teach kids that, you can go in a corner and try to doctor it up however you want, but you will gain the most amount of respect when you take responsibility for stuff.
Well, what do we always say? It's character, right? And what do we say? I think it was maybe one of the first episodes, tough times,
adversity.
Adversity doesn't build character; it reveals it.
It does.
And like I said, it's a saying that has stuck with me. And right there, you showed great character. The person's like, dude, she owned up to it. It is what it is. We move on. Right. She learned from it. Guarantee you. Now you're in a year.
I triple check his contracts.
There's the lesson, right? And you probably check every contract to make sure that doesn't happen again. So as long as you learn from it, you didn't make the mistake again, but you owned it and you showed great character. character.
Exactly.
And character, I'll take someone over that has great character over someone with talent.
Yeah.
Someone that you know, maybe looked the best on paper. Mm-hmm. Someone that I know has got the character to do the right thing. Mm-hmm. I will take that person any day of the week, because you can mold them, you can shape them, you can coach them, you can teach them.
Right.
Those are the things that are fundamental in a human being that cannot be taught. And that's how I look at my team now. It's okay, what kind of character do these men or women have that work for me? They are good people.
They don't have drive. Don't hire them.
Yeah,
I've made those mistakes many times.
Yeah, and again, but also don't think they have to have the same drive as you.
Well, no, but they can't.
Yeah, no, you have to have someone that works hard. But yeah. I think people make the mistake too, where they expect everyone to have the same effort, the same work ethic, the same give a shit. So I'll say it too.
Excuse my language. We got one in.
As the boss.
Yeah.
Well, they shouldn't.
Yeah.
Right. They don't have the same vested interest. They don't make the same kind of income. They don't have the same rewards.
But if they have no drive at all, you got to go the opposite way.
Yeah. And you have to cut those people out quick. Right. You have to recognize it quick. You have to recognize, hey, I made a mistake. Mm-hmm. We always do it. Everyone thinks they're great at hiring people. Most people aren't.
Yeah.
Right. I suck at hiring. I've just gotten lucky with getting a couple people along the way. Right. But there's been a lot fewer good hires than there have been bad.
I have learned hard lessons in my career of hiring people.
But know that, right. Yeah. Go into it knowing I'm going to set my ego aside, mm-hmm. and just know I'm going to have to get lucky. You're going to have to find that right individual, but it's also up to you to show that individual, if you work hard and you do the right things, here's the path that you can live.
This is the reward that will
come.
So I think, to wrap it up, you know, with raising kids in today's world, just with the access of technology and the overly influence they get these days, mm-hmm. It is a lot different. And as parents, do we have to work harder? I think we do.
Yes.
To make sure we shield our kids from certain things and certain influences, either by kids or what they see on social media or what they see even on TV. Movies, TV shows. I mean, I am thoroughly always watching those things.
You said they have access to everything.
Yes.
Back then we didn't. Our parents, like, you had to go through the VHS and watch a movie, and it was rated R, and it was, you're not getting that.
They didn't have ads on YouTube.
My first CD I always remember was Sublime, and I bought the Sublime CD, and my mom saw that it had the parental advisory in the corner, and she literally snapped it in front of me. I had just bought it. Sam Goody. This is back when you had Sam Goody in the shopping malls, and you spent $25 or $30 for a CD, and I had owned it for a day. And she snapped it because I didn't ask for permission, all that stuff.
No, these kids, my mom was covering my eyes during kissing scenes.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And like I said, these kids have so much access to this stuff.
They grow up too fast now.
And that's the unfortunate part, is you've taken the pureness, in my opinion, out of the kids. And it's up to us to make sure we keep them as pure as possible. If that means they don't have access to phones, so be it.
And if that means your kid is quote unquote not cool for having a Stanley Cup, that was a thing that just happened this year. Do you remember that?
Which is crazy.
Or your kid is not on the team that's winning 10-0, but they're on a team that's learning and getting better.
And the coaches are putting that effort into your kids to make them better.
Let those coaches coach. And as parents, let your kids grow naturally. Be there to guide them, mm-hmm. but don't do everything. Don't win for them.
And support the people that are with your kids all day, right? That's my piece of advice to, like, teachers. Mm-hmm. You know, these teachers are doing it because they love it, right? Mm-hmm. They're doing it because they want to see these kids be better. You should have their back 100%. Mm-hmm. It should be having their back first. And then, you know, if there's other issues, then you address them.
Yep.
But you need to assume that your kid is the problem, not them. So that's my advice to parents growing up is push them harder. They're capable of a lot more. Stop babying them so much. Stop thinking that they're the angels.
Let them be the best in your eyes, but don't make them think they're going on the world and they're the best, and then they bring that entitlement into it.
And stop letting them live their life staring at a 6-inch screen.
Yeah, so, I get it. All right, that's a wrap for today.
Take care, guys. Again, thank you for the support. And we hope you guys have a great week, great day. Lena always makes me feel so much better about these conversations. And share us on social media. Hit us up again with questions. People have hit us up with topics they want us to talk about.
If you have topics, because now we're going to do this new style where next week it's my turn to come back with a secret topic that I choose.
So hopefully you guys got some value out of this one. And I know I did.
Yeah.
So again, please continue to reach out to us. We do this for you guys and we enjoy doing it. So please continue to watch us.
See you next week.
Take care.